Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Episode 245 for the Love of the Game on the Believe Podcast Network is brought to you by Bet Online, which continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including college hoops. Conference championships are right around the corner, which means March Madness is right around the corner. NBA season is in full swing, but not just hoops, NHL, tennis, you name it. Bet Online has it with up-to-minute odds, stats, and trends. You can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with live in-game betting contests and all the best player props. So head to Bet Online today and become part of the team. Remember to use promo code BLEAV for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Again, use promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, to get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts. With that said, episode 245 for the Love of the Game. Let's get this work.
Blowing through the money like it grown cheese. I've been f***ing on a French, c'est la vie. I just put them on a jet, now they all Italian. Way I'm dressed until I've been to $1,000. This lie by getting shots, but she's still a stallion. She don't even get the joke, but she's still smiling. Every night, late night, like I'm Jimmy Fallon. Crows shoot from anywhere, like you Ray Allen. Crody, turn me up. Crody, turn me up. Crody, turn me up. Got a fur on a Tampa, got me burning up. Shorty say she graduated. She
and we're back. Took a little bit of a week off, but we are back. It's episode 245 for the Love of the Game on the Believe Podcast Network with yours truly, ATH Aaron Tobin Hess. We are back in the South, back behind the mic. And we're kind of in like a weird time period in the sports calendar right now. Obviously, March Madness is right around the corner, but conference tournaments have not really kicked off yet. NBA's got a quarter of the season left, so it's really just NBA and NHL right now. Rangers are still really good. They lost a tough game this week to the Florida Panthers, but the Rangers are still really good. The Knicks need to get healthy in the worst way. They're 3-7 in their last 10. But focusing on the NBA right now, we're going to talk with a recurring guest about a couple of different NBA topics. The NBA season right now is at a point where from night to night, you're just going to see some outliers. It's later on in the season. Attrition is kind of come in again. We're not right after the All-Star break where teams are fresh. So it's kind of just, I don't want to say the dog days, because I think the dog days are like the 2 weeks before the NBA All-Star break, but you're just going to see some weird results. Sunday was a prime example of that. The Golden State Warriors, which were playing good ball, get absolutely smacked by the Boston Celtics by 53 points. Golden State then comes back. Last night, we're recording on a Thursday, they play Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks. They play them on a Wednesday night and beat them by 35. Milwaukee's playing good basketball. They're 7-3 in their last 10. Their defense has been second best in the league since the All-Star break. You know, Doc Rivers, everybody was clowning on him, but he seems to have turned them around. They get smacked last night after beating the LA Clippers, everybody's darling, the night before without Giannis, where Dame Lillard goes for 41 points. Bobby Portis is 28-16. It's just going to be weird nights like this right now in the NBA. So you just got to navigate the waters. You just got to navigate the choppiness of the NBA season. Down the stretch, they come as teams sort of jockey for position because, you know, some things are real and some things aren't. I mean, look at the Oklahoma City Thunder. Take care of business of the Phoenix Suns. And then, you know, second night of a back-to-back, get blown out by the Lakers, who then, in their next game, lost to the Kings, who are scuffling after just blowing a big lead to kind of lowly Chicago Bulls. So you got what I'm saying here. It's just weird nights in the NBA, night to night, which makes it exciting. But, you know, if you're trying to bet on games every single night in the NBA, I mean, good luck. Like this week was not the banner week in terms of being able to predict results. But we're kind of getting a picture of what these teams are going to look like a little bit. And quite frankly, while the Western Conference may be deeper, and you definitely see that the standings are definitely not set. I mean, we saw today come out that Karl Anthony Towns has a partially torn meniscus in his knee. So the Minnesota Timberwolves, that were number one in the West right now, tied with the Oklahoma City Thunder in the standings, they may drop. That's a major injury. So while the East is a little bit more set in terms of the standings, with Boston being 8 games up on Milwaukee right now for the number one seed, I do think that the Eastern Conference is a little bit more compelling. I think the storylines are a little bit more compelling because, as we talk about later on in the episode with a recurring guest, the Milwaukee Bucks to me are the most interesting team in the league right now. We all saw that it just wasn't right with Adrian Griffin. And then they get rid of him and they bring in Doc Rivers. It starts out gross. Now he's cleaned up their defense. They're way better defensively in transition. They, again, as I said before, are number two in defensive rating since the All-Star break. They're 7-3 in their last 10. Giannis is averaging 31 points on close to 62% shooting going into last night. I haven't done the averages yet, but no one else in the history of the league has done that this late into the season. And yet something still seems off with them. Like you go back to look at the game Friday night against the Chicago Bulls. I went back and watched the highlights, and even when Giannis was going crazy, he had over 50 that night. There still seems that the Damian Lillard-Giannis connection that we thought was going to be way more seamless than it has been before the season started. You thought the pick and roll combination was going to be great. Well, the chemistry just isn't there. It's not there. And yet, their ceiling, you can make an argument, is higher than Boston's ceiling, and Boston's playing way better basketball than Milwaukee is right now. I mean, they lost a weird game this week to Cleveland without Donovan Mitchell, and the Cavs have been 5-5 after they had an 18-2 stretch or something. You see what I'm getting at here. Anyway, Milwaukee may have a higher ceiling than Boston because we've seen Boston in the playoffs. We've seen their sort of quote-unquote shortcomings. We've also noticed that they take a lot of threes, Boston. We all know that the variance is there. And if they're not hitting threes in the playoffs, like if they go on a cold streak, they can easily lose. And going into a series between the two of them, Milwaukee has the best player in the series by far. On nights, they'll have the third best player in the series. So I just think the East, while all the metrics look at Boston that they should be far and away the favorite, I'm not sure they're as big a favorite as the metrics lead on. We talked about Milwaukee, and considering that they traded everything for Damian Lillard, he's in his mid-30s. Giannis is in a point of his career where I know he's got one title, one finals MVP, but he was on a trajectory to potentially win more than that. Is he going to get frustrated if they have a bad playoff exit? Like, who knows? And then we have the Miami Heat are lurking, a team that hasn't had a single lineup play 80 minutes together. They started out slow, but they've come on. They're 8-2 in their last 10, and they're looking like a team that's rounding into form. Jimmy Butler is back. Bam Adebayo has been awesome this year. Terry Rozier's finding his way. Like, I just think the East can be way more interesting than the Western Conference, even with there being more depth in the West. Because when you boil it down in the Western Conference, I'm not sure anybody's beating Denver 4 out of 7. I really don't. Nikola Jokic should win the MVP this year. He's the best player in the league. But the way he controls the chessboard, I just don't see anybody beating them 4 out of 7. And then again, they had a weird loss to Phoenix this year, a team that I don't believe in at all. This has been a very fascinating NBA season. Really has been a fascinating NBA season, just in terms of storylines, in terms of high standings favorites, not necessarily be considered the favorite. We have just interesting teams all over the place, but I do think the Eastern Conference playoffs is more compelling than the Western Conference playoffs, just because I think Denver is a prohibitive favorite in the West. I would pick Oklahoma City to be the second best team in the West. And I think that while the metrics say Boston is overwhelmingly the favorite in the East, I could easily see Miami or Milwaukee going back to the finals. I do. I mean, I'm not sure Boston wants to see Miami in the second round. And right now, with the Knicks injuries, with the Cavs injuries, Miami's creeping up to maybe be a top four seed. And that would be a second round matchup. Pretty crazy stuff. So down the stretch, they come in the NBA. It's going to be fascinating. With that said, we're going to bring on a recurring guest to talk a little bit more about the Milwaukee Bucks and what he sees with the chemistry with Dame and Giannis and other things. We're going to talk about some business of basketball as he was on the media side, worked for one of the TV partners for the NBA for a bit. We're going to get to him in just a matter of moments. So I am very privileged to welcome on a recurring guest. He's not necessarily in his home location, but for important reasons. He was kind enough to carve out some time to chat. Believe podcast's own 48 minutes. None other Bruce Bernstein. Bruce, how are we doing today? What's good?
Doing good, Aaron. How about you, my man?
We're holding in there. You know, I'm in New York for a couple of days, just trying to get a lot of things in terms of, you know, different, you know, errands, different activities, and I don't leave myself enough time, so I'm constantly exhausted, but we're pushing through. I wanted to talk to you about the Milwaukee Bucks, because obviously you had Giannis on before the season, which was a great get. I think the Milwaukee Bucks are at a really important point in this team's history, in the Giannis runs history. We'll get to them in a second. But I wanted to ask you, because I still am so annoyed by the All-Star Game product. And you know, formerly from ESPN. And I'm curious to know what you think in terms of, because the rights deal is coming up and they're projecting the salary cap to go up and the ratings have not necessarily been great for the NBA. The All-Star Game rating was up, but it kind of took a minor bump, and I guarantee it's after last year's, you know, I should say after this year's performance, it's going to go back down. Where do you see this going? Right? Because obviously Netflix is getting into the game right now. Amazon Prime is doing the NFL. The networks are paying exorbitant amounts of money and they're not getting the return. And ultimately this affects the salary cap. And why I felt that the All-Star Game was so problematic is because this generation of player seems to not understand that they need to be partners and good business partners with the league, which ultimately helps them. And I'm not sure they're getting it. So where do you see this all going? Because it kind of seems like a bubble that may burst.
Well, first of all, the All-Star Game was just hot garbage. It was so bad. I mean, it was a glorified layup line. I called it the All-Star layup line because, I mean, there were a total of 3 personal fouls committed by both teams combined in a game. Okay. I mean, that's half a quarter during the regular season for one team. Anyway, where do I see this going? You got to understand with ESPN, it's not always simply about the ratings, because unlike TNT, let's say, TNT does the game and the pregame show and a postgame show. They don't have a daily show like the NBA Today. They don't have a show like SportsCenter that's a hungry monster for video. So with ESPN, when you're a rights holder and you're ESPN, you get so many other benefits for use of video, for access to NBA entertainment, although Turner can have that as much as they want it to, but they don't need it as much because they put their guys out there on the set and, you know, they do a wonderful job, but they're not as video heavy. Yeah, they're not as video heavy and cutting all these analysis things. They do one little thing where Kenny runs up to the screen and does his thing. So with ESPN, it's a matter of tonnage, and that's how it is for all their sports. So they're going to keep it, okay? There's no question they're going to keep it. Burke Magnus, who's the number two behind Jimmy Pitaro, said they're going to make every effort to keep it, which means they're going to keep it. You know, they're not going to be outbid. But like you mentioned, it's the streaming services that are kind of the wild card here. You saw on the NFL, YouTube TV took over Red Zone, right?
Sunday ticket.
Exactly. So could a streaming service take over League Pass? I mean, I'm a League Pass subscriber. I pay $100 a year for it. It's a great deal. Okay. Love it. Okay.
I get it via my Amazon Prime.
So what's that?
I get it via my Amazon Prime. So I kind of am already there in terms of the streaming service.
Interesting, because I have Amazon Prime too, and I didn't even realize that I would get League Pass as part of that. So, okay.
I'm paying a little bit more, but I'm not sure what it is, but I just know I have it, and it's great.
You know, my problem with League Pass, I live in Connecticut, okay? So we're considered to be in the MSG network region, okay? But my cable system, which is Comcast Xfinity, does not have MSG network offered, right? So I get Knicks games blacked out on League Pass because I live in Connecticut, even though my cable doesn't. So that's, I would like to see them fix that because I would love to be able to watch a Knicks game once in a while, even though I'm a Celtics guy.
Assuming their guys are healthy, but yeah, go continue, sorry.
No, that's okay. So I don't have any doubt in my mind that ESPN is going to keep it. I'm assuming that Turner's going to keep it. I mean, unless they go into some sort of a partnership with, you know, maybe somebody else. But they got the money. I mean, they're making lots of money off of that. See, here's the thing about why.
But are they? ESPN seems to be crying poverty all the time. They seem to be getting killed because, you know, the ESPN ESPN Plus subs, you know, aren't what they were. You know, they're getting crushed on other tech innovations that haven't worked. I mean, at a certain point, though, you know, the dollars and cents just don't make sense.
ESPN has the money, okay? They do, and they have their priorities, right? I mean, they're going to always try and keep that NCAA football championship game. And they love the NBA. They really do. Again, because they have that afternoon NBA Today show, if they're not a rights holder, they're not going to be able to do that show. And that's, you know, that's 5 hours a week of programming, not to mention the re-airs on ESPN2 and right. ESPN News, you know, what used to be ESPN News. So that hour show that they do in the afternoon provides 3 hours of programming for them across their three networks. So the tonnage is important to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just find it interesting that if the ratings, I get what you're saying, but like if people aren't tuning in to watch the games, and I know the NBA is kind of in a weird spot where there are tons of NBA fans that don't watch games, that they basically just watch clips on YouTube and on Instagram and on TikTok. At a certain point, the networks are going to have the leverage, and that affects the NBA's bottom line. And I don't know what the NBA is going to do. Because right now, what they're doing isn't working. And Adam Silver needs to get a little bit more David Stern in him to make sure that things start working a little bit better. It's just my sense.
Well, again, you know, because you have these streaming services that are now, they got more money than God, right? I mean, so they can drive the price up, and the NBA is going to get its money. I mean, they will. And like I said, it's also a pride thing. If you're ESPN, right, and you call yourself the worldwide leader in sports, okay, and you decide you're going to punt on the NBA, you can't really call yourself the worldwide leader in sports.
They punted on baseball. They've done this before.
Baseball is such a regional sport. You know, I mean, I know that, you know, in hockey is as well, and they're in the hockey business again. But I mean, to me, there's a certain, you know, kind of, you know, cachet, whatever you want to call it, that comes with having the NBA. Because look, that's one, you know, they don't have the World Series, so they don't crown the champion in baseball. They don't have the Super Bowl, so they don't crown the champion in football. They'll probably have a little piece of the Stanley Cup playoffs, but they own the NBA Finals, right? So I just think, you know, knowing what I do about the culture of that company, I just don't see them, you know, giving up. Now, again, will the NBA have to, you know, reduce their, you know, expectations? Perhaps so. But I'm telling you right now, Aaron, there's no way in hell that I see the NBA giving up, the ESPN giving up the NBA, regardless of the ratings.
Well, yeah, First Take would have a lot less to talk about throughout the majority of the year. We all know that show drives, you know, crazy amounts of money for ESPN.
Yes, it does.
Reach and everything. All right, moving along. I want to talk about the actual game. So your Boston Celtics are 8 games up on the Eastern Conference. You know, the second place team, Milwaukee. Milwaukee has gone through a little bit of upheaval. I know what the metrics say. I'm still a little bit dubious about the Celtics' late game execution. I do think that they rely on a lot of threes. And I think that, you know, there are points of really, really good regular season team, not necessarily built for the postseason. Which leads me to want to talk about Milwaukee, because Milwaukee and Miami, but Milwaukee is the most interesting team in the league for the last quarter of the season, because it obviously didn't start well with Doc Rivers. They're 7-3 in their last 10. He's improved their defense tremendously. Up until last night, they got smoked by Golden State, and you knew Golden State was going to come out, get like gangbusters after getting absolutely smoked by the Celtics on Sunday afternoon on ABC. And it was the second night of a back-to-back. Giannis didn't play the game against the Clippers, but, you know, it was a very impressive win by the Bucks. What do you see in the Bucks, even right now with this 7-3 stretch? Obviously the defense, but to me, there's still something lacking with the chemistry between its two best players. What's your take on the Milwaukee Bucks?
Well, first of all, one of their biggest issues has been that Chris Middleton can't stay healthy. Chris Middleton is a guy that, you know, you think of him as sort of like the third wheel behind Dame and Giannis. He hasn't played since like the first week of February. Okay?
Yeah, it's just the last 11 games.
He has got to be healthy, because without him, they're not going to beat the Celtics without him. With him, with a healthy Chris Middleton, they might. I mean, their defense has improved with him out of the lineup a little. Jay Crowder's, you know, played more minutes, and Jay doesn't do anything for him offensively, really. But he's a, you know, a very rugged defender. He'll mix it up. And also, ever since they brought Pat Beverly on the team, they're 8-2, okay? And he's a dog on defense, man. I mean, that's always been his reputation. He's even had some good games against the Clippers. He had a great game. He had 12 points and 9 rebounds, 4 steals, okay? And he's a Doc Rivers favorite. I mean, they were together when Doc was with the Clippers. So Pat Bev, as much, you know, he's like one of those guys, if he's on your team, you love him. If he's not on your team, you can't stand him, because you'll, you know, you see him, he's chippy. He likes to instigate. But, you know, that's something that Milwaukee really kind of needs. I mean, look, Milwaukee, if you think about it, is mostly a finesse team. I mean, Dame doesn't play any defense. You know, Giannis obviously is an outstanding defender. So they need guys like Pat Bev to go in there and mix it up a little bit. You know, since the All-Star break prior to Wednesday evening, they had the league best defensive rating since the All-Star game, right?
Yeah.
But as you mentioned in the beginning of this discussion, Golden State just absolutely torched them on Wednesday night. They had 78 points in the first half, okay? If you're giving up 78 in the first half,
the NBA is like that. Like, when teams have, like, a crazy stretch, then all of a sudden there's going to be an aberration. I do think, you know, every week or two, like, you get just an outlier from what you truly are or what you're on the way of becoming.
Yeah, I mean, look at you know, you're giving praise to Boston before. They absolutely crapped the bed on Tuesday night against Cleveland. They let Cleveland come back from like 20 points down in the fourth quarter and beat them. Okay, that was a horrible loss. But for me, I didn't really worry so much about that because they have such a cushion right now. I don't think there's any way they're going to blow the lead, you know, in the East. And I think they're still up by like six games for the best overall record. So I, you know, to me, you know, it's funny. I was on Twitter with some of the Celtics fans that I like to converse with. I said, you know, who's going to be most pissed about them losing that game? They're going to come out on Thursday night. I don't know when this thing airs. We're taping this Thursday afternoon. They're going to come out strong against Denver. I'm not saying they're going to beat them. Okay. Cause Denver is such a hard place to win. I mean, it really, that altitude thing is for real. So I think in some way that could have been a blessing in disguise to blow that game, because now what they have to understand is every team in the NBA pretty much is a team you have to respect. They got NBA players on their team. I mean, D Wade, as they call him in Cleveland, Dean Wade came out in the fourth quarter, and I think he pretty much scored the same number of points in the fourth as Boston. Dean Wade, you don't think of Dean Wade as any kind of a threat, except he was just destroying them. So Boston maybe was a little bit full of themselves with that 11-game winning streak, and I think maybe this brings them back down to earth a little bit. So that's kind of, you know, I'm not really worried about that loss. If it was closer in the standings, I would be pulling out what's left of my hair, but there's enough of a cushion where I'm not too worried about.
But the interesting thing about Milwaukee is I would want your opinion on this is, you know, Lillard was great against the Clippers, but it was the Dame show, right? Mm-hmm. Because Giannis was out and, you know, it was his opportunity to basically go back to old Portland, Damian Lillard. And they're talking about, like, you know, instituting some more plays and some more actions with Lillard being, you know, what he used to do in Portland. But ultimately, like, he's not the best player on the team. And there's a pecking order on every basketball team. And all year, even in this recent stretch, like, if you go back to the game against the Chicago Bulls, right? It was a Friday night game. Mm-hmm. And Giannis is going crazy, right? He's going absolutely crazy. And there are still times where it's just like where Lillard almost doesn't even look his way, right? The chemistry still seems to me a little bit off. And even saying that, like, if they could tap into it a little bit, they're a finals, you know, contender. But do you also see it the same way I do, that there's still something a little off?
When they're running the screen and roll with Dame and Giannis, I mean, that's pretty unstoppable. I think Dame, you know, I mean, he had 41 in that game. And like you said, it was Dame time. But Giannis didn't play against the Clippers, so Dame had to go and get 41. In the Chicago, and oh, by the way, in that Clippers game, Bobby Portis, 28-16. Okay.
And an awesome second half. And I'm not saying that Lillard just needs to shoot the ball all the time. He was distributing out of the double teams that night against the Clippers. You know, I'm not saying he plays selfish, but it seems like he has, like, when Giannis is on the floor, he has a little bit of tunnel vision. Like, he feels like he needs to get his to justify him being Damian Lillard. And it just seems a little off still.
I mean, I can, you know, I can agree with a lot of what you're saying there. I mean, I don't think anybody, even Dame in his heart of hearts, doesn't think he's the man on that team. I mean, Giannis is, you know, top three MVP guy every single year. I mean, and Dame Lillard is never going to be the MVP of the NBA. I mean, he hasn't up till now, and he's never going to be. But that's on Doc Rivers a little bit too. If he sees that that's been happening, because again, when Adrian Griffin was coaching the team, perhaps those bad habits established themselves under him. Rookie coach, Dame probably didn't really have much respect for him because, you know.
Well, especially after he got into a fight with his lead assistant who happened to have coached Damian Lillard under some of his best years. Like, you would think that they may have been able to smooth things out if they – you know, hadn't gotten into a fight and he was dismissed before the season started. But yeah.
That was to me, when that happened, I was thinking to myself, oh boy, here's a guy. And again, maybe Terry Stotts handled that badly too. Cause Griffin wanted him to come over with the other coaches and Stotts is like, wait, I'm talking to so-and-so. It's like, get over here. You know?
Yeah.
You're not in charge here. I am. But again, that could be the insecurity of a rookie coach who takes over a team that has title expectations. Their defense was absolutely abysmal when he was coaching. Under Doc, I looked this up. Since the All-Star break, they've held one, two, three. They've held teams under 100 points seven times since under Doc, all right? Only three times in their first 46 games. So Griffin clearly was not getting them to play defense. Doc does. It's all, Aaron, you know this. In the postseason, it's all about defense because teams can scout you. They can take things away. You know, I don't know if you can take Giannis away, but, you know, you can do things to try. But defense travels. If you are a great defensive team, you can win games on a night when your shot isn't falling. And that's, you know, that's the big improvement with Milwaukee. So we'll see. I mean, they, you know, they're still a team that I would say, you know, is the biggest threat to Boston in the East. Cleveland's been really good and all that, but they're kind of soft and inexperienced. The Knicks, if they're healthy, could be right there with Milwaukee. But is that going to happen? I don't know. Philly, forget about it. Without Embiid, they lose in the first round, okay? But Milwaukee, plus they know how to win. They've done it, you know, and done it recently. So I am really not worried about Milwaukee. I'm more concerned that they get Chris Middleton back and not rush him back, get him back healthy. Cause when Chris Middleton is on his game, it makes it so much easier for the other guys. They can't double team Giannis. Dame has another guy to pass it to. And Chris is a very efficient shooter. I mean, he's a high percentage shooter.
And a good secondary ball handler and a good connector in terms of just like making things move. He's not the defensive player he used to be, but I do think he's incredibly important.
No, he's not. But, you know, nobody should be sleeping on Milwaukee. I mean, they really just should not.
So let me ask you a question. Them or Miami as a Celtics fan, who are you more scared of?
Denver or Miami?
Yeah. No, Milwaukee or Miami in terms of getting out of the East.
Milwaukee. I mean, look, Miami is always better than you think they're going to be. Okay. They're always managed to peak at the right time. They play their best ball. But you know what? First of all, I'm not a big Tyler Hero fan. I don't think he even belongs on that team. I wouldn't be surprised if they trade him at some point. Jimmy Butler is now, what, 34 years old? Okay. I am a huge Bam Adebayo fan. I think that guy is great. Miami's really good. And believe me, I love their franchise. I believe that Heat culture really is a thing. I really do. And the reason is because they always find ways to develop guys. Look at Jaime Jaquez Jr. You know, coming into the season, nobody was talking about him. You know, now I'm pretty certain he'll be on the all-rookie team. Okay. Yep.
By the way, I just wanted to be known that when he was drafted to the Heat, I said it immediately. I was like, we all know this is going to happen. He played 4 years at UCLA. He's productive. He's going to come in and he's going to be good immediately. And what do you know? Because the Miami Heat, they just do that stuff. But yeah, go ahead.
Look at guys, you know, that I mean, I think they missed Gabe Vincent, who left the team. He was really good for them last year. You know, Caleb Martin's been pretty good, you know, not as good as he was in the postseason. But again, Miami will peak at the right time. They're playing like just under 600 ball right now, I think.
Well, they're 8-2 in their last 10 also.
Yeah. And, you know, they're getting not going to have home court, you know, probably in any series unless somebody.
I'm not so sure about that. They're looking at the standings right now. They're a game out of fourth in the loss column.
Okay.
They are 4.5 out of the third seed, and they're 5 behind Milwaukee for the 2 seed. I'm not sure they're going to get all the way up to
5's a lot,
but they could get to 4. If they get to 4, the Knicks being hurt and Orlando's been crazy hot lately, but I trust Miami over Orlando.
Oh yeah, so do I. I mean, look, coaching is so important in the postseason, and Eric Spoelstra is one of the very, very best. He's a Hall of Fame coach. He's going to the Hall of Fame, all right?
Oh, easily.
He is.
And yet he's never won Coach of the Year. So, but you're still more scared as a Celtics fan of Milwaukee than of Miami.
Scared, no. Respectful, yes. Because I don't think Milwaukee will beat Boston this year. I really don't. I look at Milwaukee. If you want to do the tail of the tape between those two teams, you know, Giannis, I mean, Miami's best player is Bam, okay? Butler's their second best player, I think, especially because, you know.
I'm not so sure I'm ready to go there just yet when it's.
Butler gets more respect from the refs. Nobody gets more calls than Jimmy Butler. I don't really understand how he does it, but I have to tip my hat to him. Because he goes to the line more than anybody his size, I think, in the NBA. But okay, so Giannis and Dame versus Adebayo and Butler, I give the edge to Milwaukee there. Okay. Sixth man, you know, coming off the bench, you know, Portis. Milwaukee's bench, you know, Portis is good. Connaughton, I was disappointed in him this year. He was my preseason pick for sixth man of the year, and that clearly is not going to happen. Portis has been great for those guys. You know, Pat Bev has been good for them. You know, if Middleton comes back healthy, then Crowder's coming off the bench. I just like their team better. I mean, you know, again, nothing against Miami. I really respect Miami. I am a fan of the culture, you know, but I just think, you know, Milwaukee, I'm more concerned with Milwaukee.
I would agree with you that Milwaukee's ceiling is probably higher because in every series that they're going to go into in the Eastern Conference, they have the best player. They have the best player. But I'm not sure that they're going to be able to work out all those kinks until then. So if I was a Boston fan, I'd be more scared of Miami because Miami seems to know how to play them. I'll let you go because I want to get back to Milwaukee because I do find them fascinating in terms of the team dynamics, you know, trading a lot of assets for Damian Lillard, who's, you know, not in his 20s anymore. You know, he's in his mid-30s. Giannis just re-signing an extension. But again, we've seen that contracts in the NBA don't necessarily matter the way they used to, and that it doesn't necessarily always mean that he's going to stay and he'll, you know, if it's another embarrassing playoff exit, like what happens to this team then? So if it goes bad in the first or second round, what do you see from this Milwaukee Bucks team? Like what do they do next?
I'm not really sure because it's not a free agent destination. And the whole Damian Lillard trade, you know who was like the happiest guy in the world when that trade was made? Me, all right? Because I knew that meant that Drew Holiday was going to become available. And as soon as he went to Portland, I immediately was on Twitter Brad Stevens, figure out how to get this guy. He is the guy Boston needed. If they would have had Drew Holiday last year and the year before, they might have won it all 2 years ago, okay? And they would have been better last year too. Drew Holiday, to me, there's a guy that people that don't watch Boston play a lot don't really understand what that guy's all about. I call he and Derek White the wardens because they lock people up on the perimeter. Trying to run your offense against those two guys, they make you waste precious time putting pressure on before you can even get into your offense. And I don't know that there's a better corner three shooter in the NBA.
Shooting 65%, yeah.
And it's just ridiculous. Every time he shoots it, no matter what the angle, it looks like it's going in.
And he sacrificed usage so everybody else can get theirs. But as you know, I heard on Zach Lowe make this point. He's like, but if like there was ever a playoff game where Drew Holiday needed to go back in, you know, back in time and do a little bit more of the usage thing and get 25 to 30, like Drew Holiday is very capable still. He's been awesome for the Celtics. I think he's so good.
The thing about him, the keys to Nikola Jokic's greatness is that you can't speed him up. He plays the game at his own speed. It doesn't matter what you're doing defensively. He's playing his game. Drew Holiday's that way too. You can't speed that guy up. He does make some careless turnovers once in a while. That's the one little negative about his game. But he's great at getting into the paint. He's great at scoring in the paint. And you know, his passes are not always the assist pass. He gets a lot of hockey assists because they move the ball around so well. But he almost never makes a poor decision. And when it comes to perimeter defense, I mean, is there a better defensive backcourt than Derek White and Drew Holiday? I mean, I haven't seen it. I mean, White the other night against Cleveland had four block shots.
Yeah.
For a guard. He's blocked more shots than Giannis this year, by the way, Derek White.
That's actually a crazy stat because Giannis is, you know, one of the six or seven best defenders in basketball.
There was a list of guys that White has more blocked shots than, and many of them were guys that are much bigger that you think of as shot blockers. I don't know that he has more than Jaren Jackson Jr., but for a 6'4 guard, I mean, he's averaging like 1.3, 1.2 blocks a game. I mean, that's a ton for a guard.
Yeah, he's been fantastic. So we'll let you go on this. Just back to the, you know, the original thing. If it goes bad for Milwaukee, what do they do? Where could they pivot? Or do you just run it back and hope that it clicks?
They've got a couple guys that really haven't played a lot that maybe would get a chance, like Marjon Beauchamp and the guy who was on UConn last year. Yeah, he showed some flashes. So maybe some of those guys get a chance to step up. But, you know, Giannis is still pretty much in his prime. He's like 28. Dame is probably – it's going to start gradually dropping off, I think, for him a little bit. He's 33 years old, right? You know, when you're 33, unless you're LeBron James, you know, you've kind of peaked. And it's going the other way. Honestly, I don't know. They mortgaged it all to win this year, you know. And again, when they had to give up Drew Holiday, that just really opened the door for Boston to just blow past them because that was the guy they really needed. And while they had to give up quite a bit to get him, you know, Robert Williams and the third went to Portland. Like every other year, he got injured, so he's missed most of the season. Malcolm Brogdon was a guy that they didn't really need once they got Holiday. And he was actually out the door anyway, one way or the other, they were going to trade him. So I'm not really sure where Milwaukee goes from here. You should probably, next time you want to go deep on the Bucks, you should probably get my boy Ross Geiger to come on with you because Ross is the reason we got Giannis because those guys are like this. And he can tell you, you know, every little nuance about Milwaukee, but I know they did the game last night on Playback TV. We do a thing now, 48 minutes live on Playback TV. And he and World Be Freer did that game last night. I wasn't doing it cause I was here in Florida, but yeah, I mean, I'll hook you guys up if you want to do that. He knows Milwaukee better than I do.
I'm one of the biggest Giannis fans outside of the state of Wisconsin, so that'd be awesome. All right, so last question.
Yes.
No nervousness about the Celtics being that awesome regular season team that doesn't necessarily translate to the playoffs because of style of player for whatever reason?
They rely on threes a lot. But what I've noticed, and again, the other night against Cleveland, they were screwing around with that game. I mean, they just started playing with their food. And I think personally, they shoot a few too many threes. But I've also seen Tatum, you know, his threes are usually falling, but when they're not, he goes hard to the hoop. I mean, you can't stop him when he goes to the hoop. Same with Jaylen Brown. I mean, you know, he gets downhill, as they say, and you know, can't be stopped. Derek White gets inside. I think they have this tendency, because that's their game, lots of threes. So maybe what they need to do is, you know, a lot of Celtics fans are really down on Joe Mazzulla as a coach. I don't really understand it at this point. Last year, I kind of felt similarly, but I don't really now. So again, they're going to go with their analytics. They're big on that stuff, and that says shoot the threes and whatever. I would hope that, you know, they would modify that somewhat, because at some point, if you miss like five threes in a row, it's time to say, okay, guys, let's try and go to the hoop and get fouled. Because one of the things about shooting threes, you don't get the other team's best players in foul trouble because they don't foul you on threes. Nobody gets fouled shooting threes except rarely. So if you really have, if you're going up against a team, let's say like Miami, okay, you got to take it right to Bam Adebayo. You want to get him in foul trouble if you can. And if you're out there shooting threes, he's not going to get in foul trouble. And in the playoffs, when the games slow down, there's fewer possessions, I think it's more important if you can get to the hoop, get fouled, go to the line, make your free throws, maybe get somebody on the bench for a couple minutes that they don't want to be on the bench. That's just me. But, you know, they're going to do what they do, Aaron.
The East is going to be fascinating. I want them to get healthy.
What? I really want to see what that team can do healthy. They're, you know, and I don't even like the Knicks, okay? But I saw what they could do for a minute when OG came over and Randall was playing, and you know, they picked up Burks and Bogdanovich. I mean, that is a dangerous team when they're out there. And that's what I want to see. I don't want to, you know, beat a New York team that's crippled from injuries. I want to see what they got.
Yeah, we'll see. The injury reports for the Knicks haven't necessarily been so forthright in terms of time frame, but I can understand why. But yeah, the East is going to be really interesting. I'm not sure it's definitely not as deep as the West, but I think it's actually more intriguing in terms of with different subplots. But Bruce, this was absolutely awesome. I appreciate you coming on, talking about the ESPN stuff, talking a little hoops. We're going to have to do it again.
Hey, you know where to find me. Love coming on to speak with you. We'll do this again for sure. And be well, stay healthy, and we'll see you soon. Get healthy with the Knicks too.
You too. Safe travels. Have a good one. Speak to you soon.
Take care.
Thanks again to this week's guest, recurring guest, Bruce Bernstein, for carving out some time to talk a little bit about the NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks, the business of basketball, ESPN's role in the whole thing. It was a really good conversation with him. That's episode 245 for the love of the game. Take us out, Drake and 21 Savage.
It's near me and I'm down to hit him up. One more time, hit my line. You know the hair was gray. Oh yeah, all right, don't do romancing. One more time, you gotta run a phase. Oh yeah, all right, one more time.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.